Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Take your Bible this evening, if you will. Please turn with me to a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. That is 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. If you found your place in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter number 17, verse number 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou wert come down that thou mightest see the battle." Verse 29, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Let's look at that phrase this evening. Is there not a cause? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and how that you challenge us by means of your word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who allows us to understand, who gives us the understanding of your word so that we see the practical applications and how that something that took place hundreds and hundreds of years ago has a spiritual lesson that we need to learn. And I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would anoint me to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word. Lord, we do pray for Brother Bill, Miss Tony's son this evening, and his wife and their daughter. Lord, I pray that you would comfort this family. Lord, they're your servants. More than this, Lord, they're your children. And we pray tonight that you would minister to their needs. Lord, we pray for Jocelyn in that hospital in Atlanta this evening, that you would comfort her young heart. Lord, I pray that you'll take away the fear. Lord, I pray that you'd conquer that fear in her soul. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help her family. And these days, Lord, uphold them with your grace and your mercy and your strength. Lord, we pray tonight for your blessing in all of these areas. In Jesus' name, amen. All of us need encouragement from time to time. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And the story of David's battle with Goliath is certainly an encouraging portion of God's word. Only our Lord knows how many times saints of God who have been outnumbered or underfinanced are facing other seemingly impossible odds have taken heart and have been encouraged and decided to go forward for God after being reminded of what God did in the case of David in the battle with Goliath. And if ever God's people have lived in a time when regular doses of encouragement are needed, we're living at that time this evening. Satan is continually at work and seeking to discourage us. The story that we have before us this evening, I believe centers around, and we didn't read yet about the battle, the five smooth stones and so forth, and how that Goliath went down. We haven't read that. You're familiar with that. But I believe the entire record that God has given us here is centered around verse number 29. And I believe if you could look at the part of that text around which God has centered our thoughts right here, it's in this word cause, verse number 29. David asked his brother, when his oldest brother was criticizing him for having come from his home, leaving the sheep in the care of another, and coming to the field of battle, he was accusing David of having false motives here. And David turns and he says to Eliab, his elder brother, is there not a cause? David has heard the challenge of Goliath. He's seen all that's taken place when this giant presents himself and the men of Israel cower in fear, and there's no one that's ready to come forward to lead the people of Israel in God's name to a victory here. And David responds, he said, is there not a cause? I would encourage you, if you make notes in your Bible here, to make a note, circle the word cause, and write down in the margin of your Bible what a cause is as David refers to a cause right here. David is referring here to a reason. David is referring here to a call for a response. He's speaking here about a motivation for action. When David responds to his elder brother's accusation here, David is asking, isn't there a reason? Isn't there motivation to go for someone and fight this Philistine in the name of the Lord? Does not the activity of Goliath call for a response? Shouldn't we be motivated to act rather than to be run over by this giant Goliath? With this in mind, I'm going to ask you to look over this biblical account with me this evening for a few moments and notice the reasons that David went to battle with Goliath. In verse 29, he asked the question, is there not a cause? And the word cause here, if we'll use the means of an acrostic, the word cause will tell us what was behind the fight in David when David went down to the brook and he took the five smooth stones, put them in his bag, when he took the sling and he went forth to meet the giant Goliath. If we'll take the word cause, make a little acrostic here, God's word will give us the reason that David moved forward in the battle. First, the C in cause speaks of concern. There was a concern. The story of David's battle with Goliath is the story of a concern. It was a concern on several levels. Number one, it was a concern of a king and a people for their national sovereignty and their very existence. In chapter 17, back in verse number 1, which we did not read, notice the scripture says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shelco, which belongeth to Judah. That ought to be of notice here. It tells us of this place called Shelco. This is where the Philistines had infiltrated. They had gathered. Listen, Shelco did not belong to the Philistines. It says it belonged to the tribe of Judah. And so we've got a king here who is Saul. And we've got an army, the army of the Israelites, and they're in the place of battle here because they have a concern for their national sovereignty and their very existence. The Bible is pointing out to us here that the Philistines were aggressors. They had invaded land that was owned by Israel. God created this land. In Joshua chapter 1 in verse number 3, among other places, God gave this land to the Jews. By the way, it still belongs to the Jews. But God gave this land to Israel. And the Philistines had dared to come within these borders. They had invaded the land that God had given to his chosen people. The Philistines were demonstrating a warlike spirit. They came to Shoco not because there was a question of right or wrong or debate about their own national defense. The scripture tells us here that they were invaders. They were not fighting for right or wrong. The Philistines were fighting because, number one, they had a love of fighting. They also had a lust to possess what belonged to God's people. And you've got King Saul, who's rallied the army of Israel, and they come out to this place for battle to be done here. And they come because they're concerned. There's a cause. There's a concern there that the very existence of Israel is at stake. They were present on the battlefield for this reason. Now, I say to you tonight that this is one good reason why Christians ought to be involved in the affairs of our community. We ought to be involved in the affairs of our state. We ought to be involved in the affairs of our nation. Folks, I want to tell you tonight, I think everybody pretty much has got this figured out, but our very existence as Christians is at stake in America tonight. If you are not registered to vote, you need to be registered to vote, because the first Tuesday in November, you need to be able to go to the polls and express your desire as a Christian. But because we've got a clear ticket here. We've got a party that is pro-abortion. We've got a party that is pro-life. We've got a party that is pro-family. We've got a party that is against the natural family. We've got moral issues at stake. We may not like all the people that are running there, those that are taking the most conservative side. We may dislike some of their dispositions and the way they talk and some of the things they say. But folks, when it comes down to party platforms tonight, we've got a dog in the fight, so to speak. And we need to have a concern. There is a cause that ought to motivate us to action in our nation. Edmund Burke, it is well known, made the statement, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." You realize it's estimated that as high as perhaps 40-50% of Christian people are not even registered to vote in the United States of America. Folks, the Christians that are not participating will answer at the judgment seat of Christ, because to whom much is given, of that person much is required. That is a scriptural mandate for us to be involved. But we've got a concern here of a king and his people here for the very existence of their nation. But it's also a concern of a father, Jesse, for his family. You see in verse number 12, David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next unto him Abinadab, the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. We look down in verse number 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And so we've got a father, Jesse, and he's concerned about his family. He realizes that 3 of his children, 3 of his sons, are in the army of Israel, and they're involved in this fight with the Philistines and the giant Goliath. And he's got a family concern. And he sends his youngest son to the battlefield, and he has gifts for them. He has provisions for his son and something for their commanding officer. And he says, "Go and bring me word. I need to hear about your brothers and how they're doing in the battle with the Philistines." It was a concern of a father for his family. And by the way, when we read the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, we find out that several families are introduced to us in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. Some of the families are good families. Some of them are not so good families. But it is a family-oriented book. Listen, there is no institution on earth that is as important as the family. The family comes first. As goes the family, so will go the church. As goes the family, so will go the nation. And the family is prominent in Scripture. It is the bedrock, the foundation of society. It is most needful and necessary. It is far-reaching. It is life-impacting that we do our duty toward our families. The family is the only thing we can take with us to heaven. We can't take anything that of stocks and bonds and bank accounts and automobiles and houses and lake homes and all. We can't take any of that to heaven.
That's right.
The only thing we can take to heaven is the members of our family that we have led to Jesus Christ. If we have led our family members to Jesus Christ, then we have the assurance there's going to be a reunion of our family in heaven. And here we've got a father that has a concern. David raised the question, is there not a cause? Yes, there's a cause of the king and the army about national existence. But you get down a little closer there, and it's the concern of a father. And he says, listen, my family's at stake in this issue. It's a reminder to us of the great importance of reaching our family for Christ. Not only winning them to Christ, but training them for Christ. It is so important. I have great admiration. I've told you this. I have great admiration for Billy Sunday. I remember Ron Lighty that came last year to our event, our fall festival event. And Ron and I were talking back and forth on the internet this past week or so. And over in the Bob Jones Memorial Library, they have got a pair of baseball shoes, and I think maybe a baseball glove, that Billy Sunday used in his days when he played with the Chicago Cubs. If you've never been through that exhibit, it's a wonderful exhibit. I have great admiration for Billy Sunday. But while Billy Sunday was awesome as an evangelist, Billy Sunday was a failure as a father. Do you realize, as far as we're able to know by their own professions, do you realize that not one single child of Billy Sunday's professed to be saved? I remember hearing that when Dr. Bill Rice was preaching. Dr. Bill Rice was John R. Rice's half-brother, and he had a sermon he preached called Love 'Em, Lick 'Em, and Learn 'Em. It's about raising our children. And in the course of that message one day, he was telling us that Billy Sunday, in one of the last meetings he ever preached, Billy Sunday was in the pulpit and he was preaching. And as he was preaching, somebody came running down the aisle of that auditorium and held up a picture, held up a newspaper. And the headline of the newspaper was, Billy Sunday's son arrested. Billy Sunday was a great evangelist in reaching others for Christ, but he lost his own children. And David asked the question, he said, is there not a cause? Yes, there's a cause. There's a concern. There's the concern of the king and the people over the existence of the nation, sovereignty of the nation. Yes, there's a cause. You've got a father here that's concerned for his family. One other thing, notice quickly about this. In verse number 26, there's the concern of a future king for the honor of God's name. Verse number 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Look at this. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Look at verse number 45, please. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And you see the concern of a future king for the honor of God's name. David was concerned that no one of the Israelites had responded to the scorn and the insult that had been cast upon God's name by the Philistine whose name was Goliath. Oh, the hearts of our church would be like the heart of David, and we would be moved by the scorn and by the insults that are hurled upon the name of Jesus every day in our community, in our state, and in our nation. We ought to be jealous for the name of the Lord. David here was concerned as a future king. He didn't even know he was going to be a king. But David here was concerned about the name of God, the honor of God. Well, we think about verse 29. Is there not a cause? The cause represents the concern on all of the various levels. Real quickly, the A in cause speaks of adversaries. Adversaries. The aggression of Israel's adversaries moved David to the battle. If you look at chapter 17 and verse number 3, we're told that the adversaries included the army of the Philistines. It said, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. The first mention of the Philistines, by the way, in Scripture is in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. If you want to know where something starts, most of the time, just go to the book of Genesis, and if you'll read and study there, you'll find it. But the Philistines are first mentioned in Genesis in chapter 10 and verse number 14. The Scripture tells us that the Philistines descended from Noah's son, whose name was Ham. Ham was the son whom God cursed for looking upon his father's nakedness in Genesis chapter number 9, verses 21 through 26. And the Philistines in Scripture, throughout Scripture, the Philistines always represent the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. It never varies. It's always the same. The Philistines are the adversaries to the people of God. In verse 4 through verse number 7, you see there's one particular member of the army of the Philistines who was an adversary. His name was Goliath. Verse number 4, they went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That is, he's a very tall man, estimated some say 7 feet tall, maybe 8 feet tall. Some say maybe even 9 feet tall. And it tells us here, he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And so here's this guy. He's 7 feet tall, 8 feet tall, probably closer to 9 feet tall. His name is Goliath. The Scripture tells us about the coat of armor that he wears. He wears a shirt of metal scales. He has a spear's head that weighs approximately 25 pounds. And he's terrifying, and he's awesome in his sight. And Goliath, in the record of the battle here of David with the Philistines, Goliath is a type in Bible typology. He's a type of the giants that every one of God's children face from time to time. Everybody faces a giant at some time or another. Sometimes it is a relationship that is falling apart. And you say, I don't see any way to save this relationship. That's your Goliath. Sometimes it's a physical injury. Or sometimes it's a physical illness. And it seems like it will never end. It'll just never get over. Sometimes it's a financial problem. And it seems like the hole has been dug so deep, you'll never get things paid off. You'll never be on level ground again. That's your Goliath. Sometimes it's a temptation. And it seems like that you just can't overcome that temptation to do wrong. Sometimes it's peer pressure. And you say, I want to do right, but I've got all these people around me and they're pressuring me to do the wrong thing. That's your Goliath. Every Christian faces Goliaths in his or her life. And the aggression of David's adversaries here came, in a sense, unexpectedly. Here the adversaries had invaded the land. It's one thing for Israel to just be watching on their borders and seeing what's taking place across the border, but now the Philistines have come into the land of the Jews. But the good thing about this is God had been preparing his servant David for many years to one day do battle with the giant. Remember how David told King Saul one day, he said, I was keeping my father's sheep, and on one occasion a bear came, and he was going to steal the sheep of my father's flock. But he said, no, he said, I took the bear and defeated the bear. He said, another occasion, a lion came, and he said, I had to kill the lion that was trying to steal the sheep. God had been preparing David for this battle. And listen, every time in our Christian life, every time we have a battle that takes place in our lives, God is preparing us for something that's coming later. God prepares us through the skirmishes. God prepares us through the small battles, because someday down the line, there's going to be a greater battle to take place. And God is about the work of preparing us. Well, real quickly there, not only when David asks, is there not a cause? There's a concern. There's the matter of the adversaries. Real quickly, the you speaks of the ultimatum. The ultimatum. Goliath's ultimatum was this. It's either conquer or be conquered. Look, please, at verse number 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set the battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight. And Goliath, the giant, presented an ultimatum to God's people. And by the way, that's Satan's message. That message has not changed through the decades and through the centuries. Satan is never idle. Satan is never satisfied. Satan's nature is always to frighten, to tear, to devour. And for that reason, there's no such thing as a neutral Christian living a victorious Christian life. Listen, it is impossible in your Christian life to have things in a state of neutral. You shift into neutral there. It is impossible to live a victorious Christian life if your gear shift is stuck in neutral. Cannot be done. We're either pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're either overcoming by the power of the one who's already conquered Satan at Calvary in the empty tomb. Or the other is we're being conquered. We're being conquered by fear. We're being conquered by deception. We're being conquered by temptation. But there's no such thing as a victorious Christian living in a state of neutrality. We've got to decide that we're going to fight. Real quickly, David asked the question, is there not a cause? Well, there's a concern. That's a motivation to fight. There are adversaries. That's a motivation to fight. There's an ultimatum, conquer or be conquered. And then the S in cause speaks of scarcity, because there was a scarcity of soldiers who were willing to fight. Look at the description of Israel's army, if you would, chapter 17, verse number 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, look at the two descriptions, they were dismayed. They were dismayed. In other words, they lost their courage. And look at this. And they were greatly afraid. You're going down to verse number 24, you see more of it. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that is Goliath, the adversary there, fled from him. And he goes on to say in the end of verse number 24, they were sore afraid. The bottom line is that the giant Goliath was accomplishing just the intimidation that he wanted to accomplish, the intimidation that paralyzed Israel's army in its tracks. And there was a scarcity of anyone in Israel's army who would go forth and fight the giant. Sad to say, but in the fight for truth and the fight for right today, there's a scarcity of Christian soldiers. I doubt that most churches today even sing Onward Christian Soldiers. They think that doesn't present the image. I've been reading what the moderate, there's no such thing as a moderate. They're all panty waist. There's no such thing as a moderate. They said, we don't want to sing like things like stand up for Jesus, because that sounds like we're going forth to war. That's exactly what we're going for. Amen. The scripture said we're on a battlefield. We're not in a recreation room. And David here said, is there not a cause? He recognized there was a scarcity of Israelites who were willing to go forth and fight the good fight of faith for the honor of the Lord. The scripture says that the child of God is to, having done all, stand and speak for Christ. Listen, we've got a myriad of issues tonight. We've got issues upon which Christians ought to have something to say. Issues about morality. Amen. I told you the other night, we cut on the TV and we sat there and we thought we were going to watch them decorate house and so forth. And lo and behold, they've got a threesome there. They've got a husband and a wife, and they've got children, but then the wife is, she can't decide what she is, and so she's got a lesbian lover. Folks, listen, there are morality issues in America tonight where Christians need to take a stand. Issues of morality, sex, pornography. Pornography, on the internet, pornography is, we cannot believe the billion-dollar industry that pornography is in this nation. There's a reason for Christians to be involved in the fight. Beverage alcohol consumption. If you could get all the so-called Baptists in Walton County to quit buying beverage alcohol, you'd give a great hurt to the alcohol stores in Walton County. Listen, it's time to be what you are, or quit pretending. Ungodly television programming. I heard that this network there, where the Hallmark Network, well, they're proud to announce this month that they're going to have their first sodomite wedding on the Hallmark Channel, and they're proud to announce it. Sin has become so that people don't even blush over it anymore. The gambling issue. We had a fight here in the Georgia legislature. Thankfully, the gamblers did not win it this time. Thank God for good representatives and senators that took a stand. But you can depend on this. Next year, they'll be back. The lobbyists will be back. We've got issues in our schools. We've got issue in the area of abortion. Listen, we've got plenty of issues that Christians need to be taking a stand on. You better believe that Satan's crowd is not taking a vacation. And the people of God need to arouse and go into the battle. Well, there's the cause. David said, is there not a cause? There's a matter of concern, the matter of adversaries, the matter of the ultimatum that's given, the matter of the scarcity of soldiers. The last thing. David asked the question in verse 29, is there not a cause? It is the expectation. You say, what expectation? It is the expectation that God would indeed honor his word, and that God would empower anyone who dared to take a stand for him. Look at verse number 37, please. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. What did David say there? David said, I've got an expectation that God is going to keep his part of the deal. God is going to honor his word. God is going to answer faith invested in him that says, I'll fight the good fight of faith. Look down at verse number 46, if you will, please. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. David went forth to battle that day because he had an expectation that God was honorable, that God would vindicate his word. Scripture tells us the saints of God are called to a life of faith. Galatians 2:20, we're told that we're to live by faith. Romans 11:20, we're to stand by faith. Romans 4:12, we're to walk by faith. 1 John 5:4 and 5, we're to overcome the world by faith. 1 Peter 5:9, we're to resist the devil by faith. 2 Corinthians 8:7, we're to abound in faith. Romans 4:20 through 24, we're to be strong in faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13, we're to stand fast in faith. Do you get the idea here? God says without faith, it is impossible to please him. But God says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God honors faith. Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Mark 9:23, by faith all things are possible. And God allowed the battle with the Philistines and the confrontation with Goliath to happen so that not only David, but then also the king and the army of Israel might see the power and the benefit of putting faith in God into action. Often we wonder why God allows giants to cross our paths. Those giants come in our paths, the scripture tells us, because God is seeking to exercise us in the matter of faith, that our faith in him might become strong, that our faith in him might increase. Listen, did you ever watch an old-fashioned blacksmith shop at work? Have you ever watched an old-fashioned blacksmith shop at work and what the blacksmith would do with a piece of iron? The blacksmith takes the iron and he puts it into the fire so that he can soften it to make it pliable. As long as the iron stays outside the fire, it's cold and it's hard, it's unbendable, it cannot be used. But when you put the iron in the fire, when it's heated, then it becomes pliable. And you can shape it and you can use it and you can mold it. And that's what God does when he allows us to have trouble in our lives. God is putting the fire to our faith so that God might make our lives pliable, so that he might make our lives useful, so that he might make our lives profitable in the kingdom of God. When we are allowed to have trouble in our lives, it's a testimony that God is at work in our lives and God is seeking to use us and mold us and make us into what he wants us to be. The temptation is when we come to trials, somewhere along the line, there's a temptation that comes that says, well, let's just quit. Let's just give up. Let's just throw up our hands and let happen what's going to happen. But that's not God's way and it's not God's plan. I found a little thing that said, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must. But don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. Many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt, and you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seemed afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It happens, it's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. There's a cause. There's a cause tonight in our community. There's a cause in our state. There's a cause in our nation tonight. There's a cause in the world. The scripture says that God has called us to enter the battle. We're in a battle not with seen forces, not with natural forces. The scripture said we're doing battle with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. But God has called us to the cause, and God has called us to be faithful in the fight.